This is the Colorado Real Estate Experience, and my name is Dick Girard, and my co-host is Pat Draw. We are going to talk today about refinancing and how you can have a refinance, how you can manage your mortgage to help you build some wealth and do a lot of different things financially. So, Pat, how's it going today?
Oh, man, busy. You said it. I mean, refinance is the word. You know, and it's funny when you say refinance and you talk about building wealth in the same sentence. I mean, it revolves around a number of things that I think, and then you and I have talked about. So I think we're pretty close to having the same thoughts here, is that it's all about the money you can save. So, I mean, there's so many different ways you can use your house and the equity in your house as an asset to build wealth. And it's like a perfect storm right now, just because of the fact that, you know, values are higher in the Denver metropolitan area still. The purchase market is still strong. And the good news is this, is actually it's leveling out a little bit, which in my opinion makes it a lot more, there's a much better foundation. So there's a lot more strength in the market for the long term than as much as people might think that, you know, houses coming off the market and values going through the roof is a great thing. It doesn't end up being a long-term good thing. So we have this stability that seems to be happening. And now you've got this somewhat seemingly short-term phenomena with interest rates dropping because of kind of all the goofy things going on with the tariffs and that sort of situation there. It's really given us some great opportunity to not just look at one or two different ways of building wealth with your mortgage and refinancing, but a number of ways. You save a ton of money right now.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a lot of reasons to refinance and a lot of reasons not to. Right.
Right.
And let's talk a little bit about, you know, is it time to refinance and how do you figure that out? You know, and I think it's a very individual type of a thing, you know, for some people saving, you know, $75 on their mortgage might make a big difference, you know, and with some people pulling, you know, $80,000 out to finish their basement, you know, might be a great thing where their payment actually goes up a little bit, right? So there's a lot of different ways to do that. But like you said, we're at an unbelievable time right now where we have had that run up where we have most people that have bought in the last, you know, even year, but within the last 5 years have a tremendous amount of equity in their houses, right? Because of the way our values have gone up. And how do you use that to build wealth? And I think that's the questions that we will go over with you to find out if it really does make sense. Because I've told some people that have called about refinancing that it's not a good time to refinance right now for their situation, you know, but for most people, it really is a great time with rates coming down as much as they have and the ability to be able to pull cash out with either the same interest rate as you got 2 years ago or, you know, a little bit lower than you got 6 months ago. So there's a lot of different reasons to refinance. And let's talk a little bit about that. What are some of the reasons that your clients are refinancing right now?
Well, I mean, we can go down the list. I think the number one thing obviously is interest rate. I mean, people have, you know, there was a brief period of time where there was some really, really low rates. But if you look at the last 10 years, the really low rates only happened for a couple of the last 10. And so most people are sitting on a rate that's maybe, you know, 0.75 point, even a point higher, some more than what rates are right now. And that's a pretty significant difference, just purely dollar for dollar, refinance to lower my payment. That's it. I mean, so it's all
saving money, right?
Yeah, you're saving money, and that's huge. But I mean, the number one way that I think most people would look at it is if they're going in and going, okay, I'm paying 4.5 or 4.75 or whatever it is, you know, and I can get my payment, my rate down 0.5 point or 0.75 point, or even a full point. That's great. It's going to save you money. And over the long term, if you do the right things with it, you're going to be able to continue to build wealth or add to your wealth building, so to speak, by doing that.
And the other thing I think that we need to talk about a little bit is when you, if you did your mortgage a few years ago and you're not pulling any cash out, now you're doing the new mortgage on a lower loan amount also.
Right.
So you're saving there too. Or maybe you're getting rid of mortgage insurance, or, you know, so there's a lot of other reasons to, you know, to that your payment will go down, not just interest rate, but a lower loan amount. You're amortizing it, you know, differently and that type of thing too.
Let me say something before you move on to the next one, because you just brought something up that I just thought about, because I actually have this happening a lot right now. There's a lot of people that are in purgatory who are hoping that they're going to be able to maybe drop mortgage insurance. You know, my value of my house has gone up. I can drop my mortgage insurance. So here's what I'm finding out, and this is a good thing, is that you don't really have to have enough equity to drop it. But there's actually a two-tier approach to kind of this thought is just reducing by getting a higher appraisal. Even if you're not have enough to drop it, getting a higher appraisal is going to reduce the amount you pay in mortgage insurance, right? That's step one. So that's going to reduce it. I'll talk about a couple examples on that one. So that would reduce number one. Number two, the other thing is it's resetting the value that your mortgage is using. So the lender, in our case, Caliber Home Loans, what we're using to calculate the lifetime or the length of your mortgage insurance. So here's a great example. I've got a couple right now. They put down 3% almost 2 years ago. Their house has gone up in value quite a bit, but not enough by just putting down 3%, not enough to drop mortgage insurance. However, instead of being at 97%, which is 3% down, 97% loan to value, which is where their loan is right now, mortgage insurance will take 11 and a half years or so just to drop off. Or until their value goes up and their balance goes down. But let's just assume organically they pay their payments and it drops off. It takes 11 years. Now what we're doing, they don't have enough equity yet with just putting 3% down. I mean, it wasn't like a windfall of home value improvement. However, what it was is their house did improve enough in value, to get somewhere in the neighborhood, and we don't have the appraisal back yet, somewhere between 85 and 90%, right? Now, the mortgage insurance difference at 85 to 90% is substantial compared to what it was at 97% loan to value. So the difference that they're seeing is their mortgage insurance, which was like $180 a month, is going to drop somewhere between $65 and $85 a month, depending on where the value comes in. That's huge. That alone's $100 in savings almost a month, not to mention the fact that we're dropping the rate 0.75 points. So that's a big deal. But the other thing, when I was talking to the couple about it, I said, here's the thing you got to keep in mind, because these guys were real conscious about trying to pay more on the mortgage to get rid of the mortgage insurance. I was like, you're resetting the lifespan of your mortgage insurance by doing this. So even though you're saving money, that's great. And that's number one. But number two is, even if you don't gain enough value, even if values go down, even if, you know, you don't pay an extra dime on your mortgage over whatever time you have, now you're basing your organic lifespan of your mortgage insurance, you're reducing that to about 5.5 years.
Yep.
So you've just bought yourself an insurance policy against the market going down on you, you know, in the future. Because a lot of people just think the value of my house will go up, I'll get a new appraisal down the road, and I'll be fine. And that is right. But you never know what's going to happen. So resetting that stage is a big deal. And now they've got this hedge against any kind of future, you know, kind of downturn, whereas they could drop their mortgage insurance with a stroke of a check, which is a lot less now than what it was. I mean, like it's almost $100,000 difference. It's a fairly big mortgage. So the stroke of the check, which is a lot different, or just organically waiting for it to fall off with, you know, amortization of their loan based on the new appraised value. So two big things that a lot of people don't think of. I've just had so many people go, can I drop my mortgage insurance? You know, and well, we're not quite there yet. Oh, I'll wait. Well, hold on. Don't go so fast here. Let's talk about what this can do. You know, if the difference in your interest rate can save you 75 or 100, call it $100 a month, and the difference in your mortgage insurance is $100 a month, now you're saving $200.
Oh, and I had the exact same thing. My client has only had their place for a year. They did some improvements on it. They actually had an FHA loan that you can't get rid of your mortgage insurance. Right. Ever. So we were able to refinance them, no cash out. They saved $100 a month on their payment, and they saved $100 a month on their mortgage insurance. But they so able to, you know, get that issue. Half to five with where their appraisal came in and where they were at. So it was huge. So they saved $200 a month and they can get rid of their mortgage insurance in 4 years if they do nothing else, right? If the place doesn't appreciate one penny, they can get rid of their mortgage insurance. And that's what you're talking about. And that's a huge, huge thing, you know, because if you look at the difference, especially FHA keeping, you know, their mortgage insurance was almost $300 over 30 years, you know, and, or you can get rid of that or cut that in half and then get rid of it in 4 years. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about building wealth, you know, because now you can take that extra money, do something else with it, and really start building wealth instead of just sitting there doing nothing and just waiting for, you know, just paying that, you know, for the next 30 years. Well, so it's a huge thing.
It is. And think about this as, I don't want to say a forced savings plan, but it's almost a forced savings plan. You go, okay, well, I've already budgeted X on my mortgage payment and we're doing just fine with that. Let's not throw $200 just back into our budget for willy-nilly stuff. Let's do something with that. You know, now you're talking, you know, $2,500 a year over the next 5 years. And that's going, okay, we know you're based on average, you're probably going to live in that house for at least 5 years. 2,500 bucks a year the next 5 years. Now you're talking what, 12, 13 grand, whatever that number is, not including any appreciation, accumulation of interest or anything like that based on your investments or whatever you're investing it in. So many different ideas there, but bottom line is it's a pretty big deal. And I don't think a lot of people take that in, you know, into consideration. They look at, well, is my rate low enough? Dick, and this is one of the biggest questions I get, and I don't know about you when you're talking to your database, but I mean, I immediately get a lot of calls. As soon as I hear anything on rates, I mean, my phone rings off the hook for as long as it's in the media, you know, and I do a pretty good job of keeping people on edge and, hey, rates are starting to move. I'm going to keep you, you know, in the loop, so on and so forth. But the number one question is this. Well, I mean, how much lower is the rate than what I have? You know, well, if I were to say a point, I think the general sentiment is people be like, hey, that's pretty good. Let's do it. Well, wait, hold on. That point only saves you $100 a month. I don't care. It's a point, right? Because I think the mindset is you're saving me 1 point interest rate. Where if I said it's a half a point, it's not as luxurious in their mind or sexy in their mind. The only half, oh, it's only a half a point. Well, hold on. That half point saving you $200 a month. Yeah, but it's only a half a point. So, I mean, which is, you know, it's kind of the opposite of the way the thinking should go. We should be going, 150 bucks a month. Let's make sure I can offset the cost of doing the loan. And then let's look at what we can do with 150 bucks a month. Whether I'm keeping it, because a lot of people I'm talking to right now are keeping it in their mortgage to pay their house off sooner, right? So they're getting in their assets going to be paid off, you know, sooner, or even if it's, you know, even if it's like 99% of America, you know, American homeowners, what they are doing is just trying to, you know, run their balance down. So if they sell their house in 5 years, instead of owing 300 grand, they're going to owe 250, and they're going to it's going to make all of that up in terms of accumulating wealth, because they're going to get that cash back in the end. But there's so many different things to do. A lot of people sometimes are too caught up in how much of a rate decrease am I going to get, not how much am I going to save.
Well, exactly. And let's move on to another reason to do it, you know, and with your example right there and people talking about rates, I've saved two clients in the last, you know, couple weeks. They have actually, their interest rate went up. And both of them went up, I think, more than a point or like a considerable amount. But we were able to pay off a bunch of other things, and they both saved over $1,000 a month. $1,000 a month, and their interest rate actually went up. But that was because we got rid of all their other payments, you know? So it's not always about interest rate, right? It's well, about what you can, and that's what we're talking about with building wealth. This is a way to build wealth. If you can save, you know, we were talking about saving $200 a month a minute ago, right? Let's say $1,000 a month. That's $12,000 a year. What is that over, you know, 30 years?
Are you putting $1,000 a month in your 401k? I mean, how many people are doing that? And that's one of the big things I've been talking to people about. I'm like, hey, listen, I'm not an investment advisor by any means, so talk to whoever you use. However, I would tell you this, is that you should have the ability now for 100, even if it's 100, 150 bucks a month, you can make a much bigger adjustment in your 401k contribution if you have one. You could adjust it because of the pre-tax setup. Yep. You can adjust it where you're putting $250, $300 a month more in your 401k now just by saving $150 a month from your mortgage. And I think people just try and simplify it. But when we really talk about the building of wealth, you know, saving money, paying off other debts that they're at a disadvantage in terms of, you know, the way the payment or the term is lined up, or probably more than anything else, are certainly a disadvantage because the interest rate, or especially on revolving debt, what a lot of people understand is it's not just the interest rate, it's also the way interest is computed, because it's totally different. Right. Those two things they're really going against the grain in terms of you building wealth and saving money. So anytime you have the opportunity to do that, it makes a lot of sense.
Well, and the other thing that we haven't talked about, I mean, going into another investment, going into your 401k, that's great. What about throwing that back into your house payment and, you know, making a 30-year mortgage into a 15-year mortgage or a 10-year mortgage, you know, or a 17-year mortgage? So paying your house off a lot quicker, that's another option that you have also. So there's so many different ways. Or taking that money, buying an investment property. You know, taking that money and doing something else with it. That's how you build that wealth. You acquire the money and then you put that money to use, whether, like you said, in your 401k, into back into your house, or back or buying another property. There's so many different ways, but that's how you build wealth. And that's how you use these refinances and saving money to be able to build wealth. You don't just go buy other things with it that aren't going to, you know, benefit you. You need to use that money to build wealth. And that's what we're talking about here.
Well, here's some quick math, Dick. I always find this always interests me. And the numbers are fuzzy, because I just did them real quick. But what I will tell you this is what you're doing at, if you take your, let's say you take a savings of $300 a month and you put it towards your mortgage, you're going to save. And again, this is fuzzy math. So if anybody goes back and checks, you'll be like, your math's off, but this is pretty close. The difference in payment is like $380 a month or whatever it is. Well, $380 a month savings times 120 months, you're going to save 50, 60 grand just by taking the savings and putting it into your mortgage,
right?
Instead of putting it somewhere else. That alone, that's, you know, like you could take a $350,000 loan and convert it from a 30-year loan to a 20-year loan with an extra 300 and some odd bucks a month, depending upon interest rate and that sort of thing. So obviously it's not perfect math, but that just gives you an idea of what you can do. And the difference in years between 20 years and 10 years is, you know, just in pure payments is 50 or 60 grand, but that doesn't even count in the how much quicker you pay your balance down. So it's right. Probably the difference of $100,000 or more over a 20-year right. term.
It's not tens of dollars or thousands of dollars. It's hundreds of thousands of dollars. It's kind of the same thing that we do with the rent to own analysis. You know, if you're throwing money just at rent, it's hundreds of thousands of dollars that you're throwing away. It's not a couple thousand dollars a month. That adds up, you know. And when you're talking about shaving 10 years off your mortgage, shaving 15 years off your mortgage, it's hundreds of thousands of dollars in interest payments that you are saving by doing that. So, and there's not a lot of places that you can do that with. You know, and I mean, not a lot of investments that you're going to, you know, make hundreds of thousands of dollars over 10 years, you know.
That's why when we talk about all these things, and, you know, building of wealth is really key when you talk about a house. Just like I said, one of the biggest financial tragedies, if you will, in my mind, is that people don't think of it that way. You know, they don't think of their home as a wealth builder. And it's probably the number one reason that the majority of anybody who has any wealth has it. It's either their home or the homes that they own or have owned is created the wealth. And again, we've told these stories time and time again of, you know, people who have never made more than $40,000 or $50,000 a year or whatever it is that just bought a house early because they believed in home ownership and paid it off or paid it down. They watched the market go up. They watched their value of their asset grow. Next thing you know, they got $200,000 or $300,000 in equity. They sell. They go buy another one that does the same thing. And next thing you know, they're retired or whatever, yep. And they have a $500,000 or $600,000 house that's free and clear, you know, completely paid off. And that's $500,000 or $600,000 in asset that they have. That, you know, how hard that would be to save for. You know, a couple hundred bucks at a time, it would be tough. You would need, you know, the way the market goes and everything else. So, I mean, ideally, it's all these things together. But the building of wealth through buying a house and being a homeowner is just so powerful that I don't know that any, I don't know that most people really understand it. A lot of people buy a house just because they're like, I'm tired of renting. They don't think about it.
Well, let's talk a little bit about, you know, pulling equity out of your home for other purposes. So, you know, sometimes that makes sense and sometimes it doesn't, obviously, because you're pulling more money out. So you're creating more debt that you have, right? So it's more that you have to pay back. But like my earlier example, I had a client that had a lot of credit card debt, and they seriously, with the amount of money that they made and the amount of credit card debt that they had, they would have never been able to pay that debt off. Never. And they were able to do that and save them $1,000 a month and only raise their mortgage by a little bit. And it really, you know, it really saved them when they were in a bad situation because they had a lot of equity in their house. You know, yeah. So there are definitely times that you can do that. The other thing, the other reason that is not a bad idea to pull money out is some kind of renovation that you're going to do on your house. You know, if you need new floors, you need a new kitchen, you need to redo your basement, something that's going to add value to the asset that you already have, that's not a bad thing to pull money out of. So paying off debt, you know, doing something that you or a business investment. I had another client that's pulling money out so they could invest in a business that they're going into, and they're pulling $50,000 out to start a business. So that's another thing, but that's generating income that could be a huge wealth builder over the next 10 years, right? Yeah. If you're able to, you know, generate $100,000 in a business, you know, by pulling $50,000 out or something like that. That's a huge way to build wealth, you know? So it definitely makes a lot of sense. And there's a lot of reasons to pull cash out of your property, especially if you're able to get it at the same interest rate that you're at or a lower interest rate. So these people that I'm pulling the money out for now, they are actually, their payment is actually going down a little bit, and they're pulling $50,000 out to start a business. So it's an unbelievable opportunity for them to get money for a very cheap price, you know, and now you got to do something with that money. And if you lose it all, it's obviously not a great, you know, payoff, but
so don't take cash.
Yeah, if you're able to do something with it, it's a great thing.
Well, let me bring this up before you pass on the next ones. I'm seeing a kind of a pretty big surge from really the younger generation, believe it or not, with this. So I've got a lot of people that have bought their first house, and there's two different things they're doing, but both of them are kind of the same idea, and that is getting a rental property. Some people are taking the property that their first house, and they're using the cash in that to buy a new primary residence, whether it's bigger or somewhere else. Oh, look at that. Did you type that up so fast?
And I did. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. But that's what I'm seeing a lot of that. And I just thought when you said the cash, I thought, you know, the one thing I'm really seeing a lot of is younger. And I got a couple of young stud agents that are really, you know, really kind of helping educate their sphere. But that's what they're doing. They're okay, keep this house. Right. I've got some equity and pull the 50 grand in equity out and then go buy another house to live in. Keep this one as a rental and let's let somebody else pay this off for us. You know, and that's a huge part. And we talk about that when we talk about, you know, buying a house. Why pay somebody else's rent? Well, if renting is a very viable thing, even though we say you should be a homeowner, you know, we know that that works for the majority of people. Some people it doesn't. But it's the same concept that we're saying that you should be a homeowner. Other people have to rent. So why not let somebody else who either doesn't want to be a homeowner or it isn't right for them or whatever, pay your house off for you? They're investing in buying an asset for you. All you can do is buy it. So take $50,000 out of the house you have and either buy another primary residence that maybe suits your needs a little better, whether your family's growing or things are changing or whatever, or keep that one and buy an investment property. One of the beauties of that, and Dick, you can expand on this more, is that when you buy an investment property, the qualification is a lot easier because the house the rent that you will get on that house qualifies as income for your qualifying. If that makes sense. You can expand it because I know you're an expert in that area.
Well, you know, I've got a client that did exactly that. They just got married, you know, they bought a place together, right? Then a year and a half later, they got pregnant and were going to have a baby. So they moved into a little bit bigger house, but kept that one as a rental, you know, and they've done that. They have now in 4 years, they have three rental properties and then their primary residence that they've moved into. So about every 2 years or a little bit less than that, they have upgraded and bought, and now they've got, you know, well over $1 million in properties, and they don't make a ton of money. You know, they make the same amount, but their rentals are paying for themselves and they're cash flowing enough to cover their mortgage. And with the appreciation that they have, they've got a tremendous amount. I've got another client that has eight rental. This is his business. And he had a bunch of properties that were worth, you know, I don't know, 150, 200,000, a lot of just low end type of places. And 5 years ago, the real estate agent and I, we all got together and we kind of put a plan together to really upgrade his properties. So he would sell a couple of them off and buy a little bit more expensive property. And now he's got almost $3 million in properties now, and they're all cash flowing. And he's, you know, he obviously lives in one of them, and he's upgraded his house, you know, to a nicer house. And it's just an amazing thing on what you can do by just doing what you said, you know, buying, living in a place for a couple of years, then moving to another place, turning that into a rental, and then, you know, doing that again and again and again. And, you know, that's definitely something that can, if you want to be a landlord, it's a great thing to do, and a great way to build wealth. I mean, they've got millions of dollars in equity, you know, that they have created by just simply moving up to a different house.
Right. And think about, like, you know, because a lot of people go, well, that's only paper wealth, because until they sell it, it really doesn't mean anything. So to substantiate really the rebuttal to that is that at any point in time, that person could go in and go, you know what, I'm done. You know what? And maybe even if it's in a down market, they can't sell those houses for $3 million, they sell it for $2.7 million. What, you know, you still have the wealth right there. And houses are becoming scarcer, as you can see. We've had an inventory problem here in Denver for quite some time. There's a reason for that. You know, and so when you have a property that somebody can come in and you could sell and somebody can move into, you have a viable asset to move. And I think that in my opinion, especially in, you know, being in the business just short of 30 years, I still to this day see, even with the downturn, even with the, you know, the problems that there were, you know, 10-ish years ago, I still see way more people that have a lot more wealth built than they probably ever could have just by saving from their investing in real estate, even not even being good at investing in real estate, but investing in real estate than they would if they saved their money. Because I can tell you this, because one thing that we see a lot of is we see people's finances and how that works. And there are definitely a lot of people that just save. And I know a lot of, like, people in my family who are devout savers, and they still probably haven't been able to save enough money by giving up a lot of things, save enough money to really keep up with what type of assets that somebody who's an investor in one or two additional properties, you know, would have. And it's, you know, so it's almost an unfair advantage. It just does. It gets overlooked a lot, you know?
Absolutely. Well, and the other thing that you can do too, and I've done this a couple times in the last month, is have somebody that has a lot of equity in their place. They've been in it a while, 5 years, let's say, or 3 years or whatever. And they put a little bit of money down and they have some equity now, or they just put a little bit of money down and they have some equity. So you can tap into that equity, you know, do a second mortgage or refinance and pull some cash out of that property and use that as a down payment for the next property.
Right.
So that's how you can, you know, you can start with 5% down, you know, and, you know, $10,000 and turn that into a couple million dollars of property. You know, I have a client, it's a VA client that bought something, and they are, this was about a year and a half ago, and they are, they're selling their place now, and they are, actually pulling out like $60,000 and moving up to a nicer house, you know, that's a couple, that's about $150,000 more than the one they're in. And, but they're using that equity that they've gained to be able to buy the higher priced house. So you don't necessarily have to, you know, buy a rental property. You can just move up from a $300,000 place to a $400,000 place to a $500,000 place. So every couple years, kind of use that equity that you've gained in your property. And that's what we're talking about, building wealth. You know, that is what really, you know, builds your wealth and gets you to that next level, because that's what you're trying to get to.
Yep.
So you don't necessarily have to buy rentals if you're not a rental, you know, if you don't want to be a landlord, you can just use that equity and buy something nicer and keep that appreciation. Because the other thing that you got to realize is 5% appreciation on a $200,000 house is a lot less than a 5% appreciation on a $500,000 house if you're talking about real dollars. Right. So, you know, the dollar amount is a lot more. It's still the same percentage, but it's a lot more on a higher priced property than it is on a lower priced property.
Right.
Yep. So that's definitely something to look at. So, you know, anything else that you want to bring up about, you know, how to, you know, use your refinance or your, you know, and you know, I said at the very beginning, let me just say one thing real quick. Sorry, is it's all individualized. You know, it's not a cookie cutter. Okay, if you save 2.4% on your mortgage, you should do a refinance. You know, it's not about that. That's why you need people like us to really help you make that decision. We will give you all the information you have. We will ask you the questions that need to be asked, and we will do, you know, a mortgage checkup for you and really, you know, go through that with you, because it's a very individualized thing. And if you're retiring in a couple of years, if you're changing jobs, if you're having kids, if your kids are going to college, there's a lot of different factors that go into this. And we combine all those factors and really help you determine whether it's the right time to refinance or whether it's not.
So that's a very good point. And that's huge, because I think a lot of people, they overlook that and they think, well, it's not for me. Or they're trying to say it's for me. Well, we understand. Everybody's a little bit individual. It's like a fingerprint. So the best thing is looking at your options and then making a decision from there. So let's backtrack, because it's called the chicken before the egg syndrome here. The one thing we haven't talked about, because we're talking a lot about refinancing, what if you don't own a home yet, right? I mean, so we should talk about this. The first step to building wealth with a home is owning a home. And there's no better time than the time when interest rates are low, because you can afford more house. Or if you're able to afford whatever house you want, you can pay a lot less on a monthly basis for the house you have than you would if your rates were higher. So we talk about these things with, you know, assuming that you already are a homeowner. Let's back up and let's talk about becoming a homeowner. Now is really a great time to do that, because rates are low and because the market is strong and that sort of thing. So becoming a homeowner at this point in time is great. And it starts you on that track to building wealth through real estate. So all the things we talked about, whether it's, you know, using cash out down the road to do home improvements or to pay off debts that you have that maybe you don't necessarily have the ability to pay off yourself really quickly, or to pull cash out from the house that you've paid on for 4 or 5 years to buy an investment property or move up and leave that one as an investment property. All these things can happen once you own a home, and now's the time to do that. So if you don't own a home, now's the time to start looking at them, right? With lower rates, you're probably going to pay less in the Denver market. You're probably going to pay the same or less for a house you buy on a monthly basis as you would if you rent it. Or at the very least, you'll be living in something you want to live in rather than paying something for something you really, really don't want to live in, I've got a couple. We kind of chuckled about it, but they're like, man, we're paying $1,800 a month for like a basically a 2-bedroom, 1-bath house. We're going to pay $2,200 a month, which is only $400 more for a 4-bedroom, 3.5, you know, bath house. And so rather than we had stuffed our family that grew into this little bitty place because we were just renters mindset, and then thinking that, you know, owning a home was just too expensive. If rent's $1,800 a month, how are we ever going to own a home to fit this family? We don't want to pay money for a 2-bedroom, 1-bath house. So we'll rent this one. And then after looking at the numbers, we're like, wait a minute. So I can live kind of in a nutshell where I want, with some exceptions, get that big of a house that fits all of us easily. And it's only $400 more a month. Absolutely. And that's what a lot of people don't look at. So even if it's like, well, I couldn't find a house for $1,600 a month. Well, take a look at what you're probably renting in the Denver area for $1,600 a month. If you're willing to buy that, you absolutely probably could get the same price paying for it as a home, compared to buying something that maybe you really want to live in, or something that really fits your lifestyle or what your family's needs are, and affording it.
Yep. There's an old Chinese proverb that says, when's the best time to plant a tree? And this the same thing about buying a house. And, you know, the best time to plant a tree was 10 years ago, right?
Right.
And the second best time is today. You know, and that's the same with buying a house. You know, the more time that you have in a house, the more wealth you're going to build. And it is just a huge opportunity, especially in the Denver metro area. You know, I was talking to somebody yesterday, and they just got married, and, you know, it was just someone that I was out talking to. It wasn't a client, or they weren't looking at anything, but they were talking about, well, we're going to maybe buy a house, you know, next year, you know, when prices come down. And I said, hey, prices aren't going to come down next year, you know? So if you're waiting for prices to come down, you can't wait, because they're just not going to come down in this, because it's a supply and demand thing, and there's too much demand in this town. You know, now will they slow down a little bit? Possibly, you know, but interest rates and all that type of thing, you know, if interest rates go up a tremendous amount, that could affect pricing a little bit. But the supply and demand is what's really going to affect pricing. And I just don't see that changing in the next really decade in this town, you know. So it's going to be a long time before prices are really going to come down, unless, you know, things really get bad in the economy and that type of thing.
So. Well, let's go to the other side of the argument before we wrap up, because we've talked about this before, and I think it's another piece of the puzzle that is overlooked. But you're talking every $10,000 in loan is only about $50 in payment, right? Mm-hmm. So $50 in payment, $10,000 in loan. So it's not the same for interest rates. I mean, depending on the value of the how high your mortgage is, the higher the mortgage, the less interest rate change that creates some sort of offset in how much you're paying. And what I mean by that is that, you know, it very well could be, if your mortgage is high enough, 0.25% in rate might make a difference of $50 or $60, $75 a month. Well, what you'd have to wait to offset that for the market to come down is $15,000 or $20,000. So, I mean, that's a fairly big drop in the market. You know, I mean, it's a 5% decrease, right, on a $400,000 house. So you have a market decrease of 5%, which is pretty significant, to have the house drop by 20 grand if you're waiting on that. Whereas it's more likely rates are going to go up by 0.25 or 0.75 or even 0.5 point or more. Think about this, Dick. I mean, 6 months ago, not even 6 months ago, our rates were what? 1.5 higher.
Yep.
That's a significant. If you were trying to wait for the market to drop to offset the change in rates, you'd have to wait for a complete plummet of the market. I mean, 1.5 difference. Like, we talk about these savings. Talk about the people that are saving
$300 a month, you know, in an average house, you know.
Yeah, $300 a month, right? What is that? That is $60,000 drop in price to equal that. Because at $50 per $10,000, you would have to have a $60,000 drop in price. That's I don't want to say it's catastrophic.
And prices have gone up since then.
Right. And the point is that I'm trying to make, and I think you are too, is that waiting for prices to drop so you can buy is not really as beneficial as taking advantage of rates that are low now, because it's going to offset any drop you're probably going to get. Even if there's a small correction, it's not going to be that big. There's too much demand here.
Well, and that's assuming that rates are going to stay here. What if rate? What if prices go up and rates go up? Well, that, now you're talking. Now you're talking about not even being able to qualify for something. You know. So,
yeah.
But let's get back to our refinance. So if you are interested in getting a free mortgage checkup, you know, just type in mortgage check. Text mortgage check to 720-650-6440. That's 720-650-6440. And we will get an appointment with you and we will get you a free mortgage checkup to see what your savings could be or what your, you know, paying off some debt, how, you know, what that will be in the long term. And we'll put the numbers to it and really show you what those savings will be for you. So that is something we'll be happy to do for you and just see if it makes sense to do. No cost, no obligation. You know, we'll just give that to you to, you know, just see if you can get on the right track to building more wealth than you already have. And that's if you already own a place. And if you don't own a place and you want to find out what you, you know, what you qualify for, text the word apply to 720-650-6440. We'll get you pre-approved. Again, it's free, no obligation. We'll tell you what you can qualify for. And if you can't qualify right now, we'll set you on a path to whether where you can in the future. So we don't care whether you buy, you know, in the next 3 days or the next 3 years. We just want you to get on the track of home ownership because we believe that that is the best way to build wealth that you can have in these times right now.
Absolutely is. Yep. So good talk. All right. A lot of good stuff going on out there. I think it
was good. And let us know if you have any other questions. You know, you can leave a comment. You can, you know, instant message us or you can text that number and we will be happy to help you out any way that we can and make sure you're on the right track to building as much wealth as you can. Have a great day.
See you.